WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Poland says it got help from NATO allies taking out Russian drones that entered its airspace during attacks on Ukraine. Our respondent, Remy Innocencio.
Prime Minister Donald Tusk says the military clocked 19 drones that it says violated Polish airspace and that three or perhaps four drones were shot down.
President Trump's weighed in on yesterday's Israeli strike on Hamas leadership in Qatar. CBS's MTS Tayyab from Doha.
President Trump said he's not happy about it, saying it neither advances Israel nor America's goals.
A federal judge has ruled Fed Reserve Board member Lisa Cook can keep her job for now, despite President Trump's attempts to fire her over allegations of mortgage fraud. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Last night, a judge ruled Trump did not have sufficient cause to fire Cook because Fed governors can only be fired for actions during their tenure. Cook signed the documents in question a year before she joined the Fed. The Trump administration is expected to appeal the ruling.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin has submitted a final proposal for federal broadband internet funding. Governor Tony Evers and the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin have submitted the proposal with the hopes of expanding high-speed internet across the state. If approved, the governor's office says the funding could expand access to high-speed internet to more than 170,000 homes and businesses. Evers says, despite the Trump administration's attempt to delay the funding, his office and the PSC have been able to keep the program on track. Since 2019, Evers' administration has allocated more than $345 million in state and federal funding to expand high-speed internet. Healthcare groups are opposing a proposed law that could reopen Wisconsin bars to smoking. Joanne Krulatz reports.
A group including UW Health, the American Cancer Society, and the American Heart Association say Assembly Bill 211 creates large loopholes to allow smoking in nearly any bar. The bill would allow smoking inside of tobacco bars and allow the use of cigars, pipe tobacco, and brown cigarette indoors. Current law defines a tobacco bar as any bar that gets 15% of its revenue from tobacco sales, and it had to be established before the 2009 indoor smoking ban passed. The bill's language would allow any current tavern to qualify so long as they purchase a tobacco sales license. The state assembly could take up the bill on the floor this week.
The fall color map is now active from Travel Wisconsin. In our listening area, leaves are just getting started. Stevens Point is the only one showing up on the map with any amount of perceptible change at 5%. Travel Wisconsin predicts the third week of October will be peak color in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball this afternoon, where the Rangers host the Brewers to wrap up their three-game series in Arlington, Texas. The Rangers winning again last night, 5-4, thanks to another great performance by their rookie center fielder, Michael Hellman. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Take your hat off to Texas. They made great defensive plays. I mean, kid in center field, I think he changed the game. Runs down Durbin's ball and then robs a home run from Terang.
NFL, the Packers signed Christian Watson to a 1-year extension worth over $13 million. They host the Washington Commanders tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers play at number 19th ranked Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Wisconsin has not beat a ranked team on the road in 4 years.
We hear the noise. We try and block it out as much as we can, but we hear it. So just being able to go out there and prove ourselves right. You know, we work just as hard as anyone else, if not harder, and we're excited for our opportunity to show that.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. On your Thursday, increasing sunshine with highs again in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Wednesday morning, September 10th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along shortly, and later this hour, we will be talking about a new campaign to help taxpayers across Wisconsin understand just how much money the private school voucher scheme is costing them. Money coming out of their wallets, money that is leaving our neighborhood local schools and going to this private school voucher plan instead. So again, that's coming up less than a half hour from now. And then at 8:52, before we wrap things up here for the morning, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley will be dropping in to talk about his joining the race for governor. He's made it official. He and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, among others, will be seeking the Democratic nomination for governor in August of next year and running for governor next November. So David Crowley will talk about what propelled him to decide to join the race for Wisconsin governor. Again, that's coming up a little bit before 9 o'clock, before we wrap things up for today. But we are still getting going just here on the 7 o'clock hour, starting with the weather and the return of summer, says meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And I, for one, am here for it. I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to one last weekend of boating before we put things away for the weekend. I'm sure other people who've made outdoor plans are almost giddy with the thought that things are, at the moment, are looking pretty good.
Yes, they are, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, today starting off damp and dreary, but good things ahead. Warm weekend, 80 degree temperatures. Like you said, summer is coming back. And it's falling on the weekend, so it couldn't be any better. This morning, we do, though, have thick fog up north, northwest. We are looking at a dense fog advisory from Ashland to Eau Claire, and then northwest into Hayward and Superior. Even Eagle River has less than a mile visibility right now. And then middle of the state, we're looking at scattered showers from Madison to Wausau all the way over to Iron River. Those are going to be working their way into the Fox Valley later this morning. Maybe a sprinkle or two until Milwaukee by this afternoon, but nothing heavy. All the heavy rain fell yesterday. We're a good half an inch to an inch and a half up northwest where all that fog is sitting now. So more clouds north today. Few sunspots down south before the system moves through. High temperatures will reach the upper 60s up north to the low 70s down south today. And we are looking at more fog pushing in overnight tonight. Now tomorrow starts the warm up. Low to mid 70s statewide. Far south, we could hit some 80s. It'll be a partly sunny day, very comfortable out there. And then the mugginess starts to seep in for Friday. You'll start to feel like summer again. It'll be partly sunny, much warmer. Highs will be in the mid to upper 70s far north to low 80s south. And then Saturday and Sunday, we're all hitting 80 to 85 degrees. We do have chances for scattered rain in the morning on Saturday and then maybe late Sunday night. But otherwise, it looks rather dry for the entire weekend and warm too.
That is such good news for people who are planning all sorts of activities this weekend, which I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. But first, I just wanted to pass along a good morning from Rob in Tigerton. Cloudy, a few rain showers, 58 degrees. Did some work around the home and fixed the tire on his John Deere mower. He says it's been fun working with Kristen Lyerly about cuts for people with disabilities and fighting back against wanting to put disabled people in institutions or in nursing homes. He writes, places north of Iron Mountain in the UP got over 3 inches of rain and says the leaves are starting to change color in the Tigerton area. Oh, and from Tony, one little request for Brittany. Could you not make it summer again? No, Tony, I'm sorry. I hit the delete button way too fast on that comment. I'm so sorry.
Control-Alt-Delete.
Exactly. So this weekend, and the thing is with the Packers playing tomorrow night, there's no Packer game over the weekend. So good weather. Ooh. Get to enjoy one of these things. So Parker, guessing game for you. Brittany is starting a long weekend tomorrow. Let's see if we can guess. No spoiler alerts. Here are some options for her. There's the Vernon County Fair, which starts today in Viroqua.
Okay.
There's the Amory Fall Festival that begins tomorrow. There's the Lake Geneva Taco Fest going on Friday and Saturday. Yep. There's Blues Fest in Thiensville Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday is also the Waupun Volksfest German Festival. On Sunday is the 12th annual Beaver Dam Pepper Festival. Also on Sunday is the Eau Claire Fall Festival. Sunday is also the Stevens Point Celebration of India over at Spash, the local high school. Lakewood has its Festifall. Get it? Ooh. Like festival, Festifall.
Boy.
You see what they did there? Yeah, that's on Sunday.
I see it.
As is New London Fall Fest, the Hayward Lions Oktoberfest, and the Mineral Point Car Show. All of these things. Oh, wait, one more from Rob here. He says Tigerton Steak Fry Saturday night. So there you go.
Options.
So I don't know which of these you're going to here, but you won't lack for possibilities for things to do this weekend.
No, not at all. Sounds like a good long weekend to take off. My gosh, I have options.
I know. So we're going to want to hear all about those when you're back next week. But we will get an updated forecast next hour as well. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we have a new newsletter editor at Up North News who has put together her first edition. Her name is Ellie Bordeaux, and we're going to let her get her feet wet a little bit before we initiate her here on the radio. We can only do so much hazing at Up North News. But Ellie is an Oconomowoc native, has been in Wisconsin her whole life, and is looking forward, as she says here, to talking about Wisconsin's true sense of community, where people take pride in their roots. She's got a photo of her and her dad at Lambeau Field at a Packer game here. She went to UW-Madison, has degrees in journalism and Spanish, wrote for the Daily Cardinal, and discovered a passion for giving people a platform to share their stories. And so, again, Ellie, I believe only the fourth newsletter editor we've had with Up North News over these past 5.5 years. Yours truly. And then there was Christina, and then there was Henry, and now there is Ellie. So give her a welcome by becoming a subscriber. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up there in the top banner, and you will be part of the weekday newsletter that she works on, as well as the Sunday morning newsletter that I put together, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, which includes a question of the week. And this time around, the question is, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on the Epstein files? Is it that it turns out his name is in the files? That much we know. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, told Trump as much, but we have no idea in what context, whether it involves wrongdoing, whether it involves cover-ups, whether it's all, I don't know if innocence is the right word, but does not involve criminal activity. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe he's not releasing the files fully because he's covering up and protecting people who are listed. Or, to be a bit more sinister about it, maybe not protecting people, but maybe blackmailing people that are in the file and saying, I'll keep these files secret if you continue to do the things that I want you to do. And then the fourth option, of course, is that it's all a hoax, and that for 20 plus years, all of these victims of Jeffrey Epstein decided all those years ago to make things up because someday Donald Trump was going to be elected president, like anybody would have believed that 20 years ago. And that way we'll be able to get him when the time is right. I mean, it seems to be what Congressman Derek Van Orden is thinking, because asked yesterday about the crude birthday note that Donald Trump signed to Jeffrey Epstein about 20 years ago. Derek Van Orden called it a fallacy. It's not a fallacy. And so you have Derek Van Orden and every other Wisconsin Republican in Congress has voted to basically stonewall the release of all of the Epstein files. All six of Wisconsin's Republican congressmen have voted to not seek justice for the Epstein victims in a way that would be faster than continuing to sit on these files for no good reason whatsoever. There are plenty of Republicans who have voted for or expressed support for getting on with this and not worrying about political protection. But you can't say the same for Wisconsin's six Republican House members. And so, again, these are stories that we are following, including our question of the week at our news and get our newsletter, a Sunday morning one, by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. Checking in on sports here, the Brewers lost to the Texas Rangers last night, 5-4. Remember, they had lost 5-0 the night before, and that was when Texas's Michael Hellman, who has only been with the team since May 19th, when he was picked up on waivers by Pittsburgh, hit his first ever grand slam and had five RBIs total on Monday. Well, last night, he hit a two-run homer and made a leaping backhanded catch over the fence in left center field to rob Bryce Terang. And that again led to the Brewers losing 5-4. They will wrap up that three-game series this afternoon. Freddy Peralta will be on the mound, going for what would be a league-leading 17th win if he were to get it in Arlington this afternoon. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and in Hayward. The Packers are on a short week. They play tomorrow night, hosting the Washington Commanders. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. Christian Watson signed a one-year, $13 million contract extension through the 2026 season, even though he is still out recovering from an ACL injury. And the Wisconsin Badgers will play this Saturday at Alabama. Coverage begins Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and in Ripon. All right, one more football note, though. I mean, it's not football related, but it's a football guy letting us know what he thinks. Brett Favre would like you to know that spreading the message to end racism is a bad thing, and says it is divisive. The native of Keel, Mississippi, spoke out in a story here on the Fox News website saying that the messages such as end racism and it takes all of us and what else was on there? Choose love. And Favre says those messages are counterproductive. He says, I feel like they're maintaining a divisive stance. They may say, well, we're trying to bring everyone together. No, that's not bringing everyone together, Favre said on the Sage Steele show earlier this week. There are a lot of things in this world, in this country, we can be better at. And I think we do continue to get better at certain things, Favre says. But you're creating more division by talking about a problem that I'm not saying it isn't still a problem, racism, but I think you could do more by not talking about it. Talk about unity and how far we've come. There are those who say, I face this all the time, and kudos to the NFL, he says, but I think most people are over and beyond that. Yeah, I feel like the league is the league of divisiveness. There might be no other way to say you're a white guy from Mississippi without saying you're a white guy from Mississippi than to say the things right there that Brett Favre just said, that he's saying, I'm not saying it is a problem, which is right up there with your uncle saying, I'm not a racist, but, and saying that I think people are over that. I think people are beyond that. They are not, which is why messages like these are more important than ever. And at some point, the people who think that something like this is divisive might finally have the epiphany that helps us make some progress in our country. We will talk about the subject of taxpayer transparency for voucher schools 15 minutes away here. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Again Fling's. Try Game Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
And it will pull up a calendar of all of our events, and you can click on that one for some more info.
We'll certainly be talking about that, hyping it up, and making sure that we get a really good turnout for everybody when it comes to that and we get closer to it. We'll promote it on our morning shows and other spots. Another thing we'll be talking quite a bit about, especially here at a news station, is the legislative breakfast that is going to be coming up. That is on October 17th. A wonderful opportunity for the community to be able to talk to representatives face-to-face, be able to ask questions. As we like to talk about around here, and I'm fortunate enough in our audiences, once a month, Senator Teston, Representative Crew, come on the air, join us, put up with my questions, all of that. We are very fortunate in this area. I think that a lot of our representatives are pretty able to be talked to and reached out to and everything. So I don't know if it's as important with some of that local representation, but some of the others that may be there at the legislative breakfast really don't get a lot of opportunities to be able to be face-to-face. I always like to remind people, treat each other with respect and you know, ask your questions respectively. That's how you get heard, and if you really want to be heard. But this opportunity that the chamber is a part of in creating here is really important, especially as we get, you know, deeper into 2025 and into 2026, and we have, you know, elections coming up and some of these things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that a legislative breakfast like this is such a great opportunity because being from Wisconsin Rapids, I feel like sometimes you can fall into the trap of thinking that, like, oh, you know, these things, you know, maybe in Madison or maybe in Milwaukee, but it's being able to have it come here and being able to feel that like we matter and that we are being represented is very important. And so I really appreciate that the Chamber is offering this opportunity. It is going to be taking place on October 17th, again, at Mid-State Technical College. We love them. From 7 a.m. to 9:15. Our registration is now open until October 10th. If you are a member, that is $35. If you are a non-member, it's $45. Our discussion is going to actually be facilitated by the president of our board of directors, Craig Tim, and Victor Communications. And we just really look forward to seeing you there. I think it's going to be a very insightful discussion, really great group of people.
I want to thank the sponsors of this as well. We've got some great sponsors a part of this.
Yes, we do. We have Mid-State Technical College, U.S. Bank, Feindorf, and Domtar.
And if you want to hear updates from legislators, local community representatives, this is the event to be a part of. Be sure to mark it on your calendars and make sure to attend, everybody. Speaking with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and Danielle, we'll keep moving on here, but I have to stop for a second because are you sure you haven't done this before?
I am
is she a ringer?
Sure.
And like, you've done other interviews and I did, like, I'm just finding out because you're very good at this. You're doing a great job. It's fantastic. I just had to note that.
Thank you so much.
The Business Expo is coming up at the end of October. That'll be here closer than we think. That's a big one for a lot of our community.
Yes, I'm actually so excited because I was actually in charge of making our flyers for this year, and the theme is Candyland, so it's going to be really, really fun. It's going to be taking place on October 28th from 2 to 6 p.m., and it's just really going to, again, be a day of networking and making those business connections, kind of immersing yourself in the business community of Wisconsin Rapids. And so we're going to have business-to-business networking from 2 to 4 p.m., so that's going to be kind of, you know, just businesses talking to other businesses, that type of thing. You must show your business card to get in. And then our open to public is free. It's from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that's just going to be for everybody. So if you're a business looking to find maybe some potential employees, or if you're somebody who's looking to be employed, or you're looking to make to strike up any type of partnership, like, this is definitely going to be the event for you. Again, this is a Candyland theme, so decorate your booth for the chance to win an award. What else? Registration is now open. It closes on October 14th. Again, this is an event you are not going to want to miss. For members, it is $100. For non-members, it is $120. And nonprofit, $50. Our sponsors for this event, thank you so much, are U.S. Bank, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Samuels Group, Marshfield Clinic Health System, Security Health Plan, and the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We also do have a few sponsors spots left open, so if you are interested, contact us. Again, wisconsinrapidschamber.com, or you can call us at 715-423-1830.
Where will the event be taking place?
Oh, perfect. That is what I forgot. Bullseye Golf Club.
Excellent. We love our friends over at Bullseye. Great place to have this. You can have a glass of water over there and have a good time, let alone something like this. A big shout out to them. We talk about this a lot, especially on our morning shows and other things we do around here, about employees and employers and those matching up and finding the right fit for people. And I credit really your generation and a lot of the younger generation with this when it comes to the idea of, okay, for mine, it was, I'll get a job and eventually a career. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't waiting around. Like, I want the career now. Mm-hmm. And I admire that. I think that that's really pushed a lot of the workforce and the way we approach work differently. And certainly from employers. This event is really leaning into that and really giving people an opportunity like, hey, my skill set is valuable. And I bring something to the table. What do you bring? What do you offer as an employer? And a little bit more of that. I see that going on. As much as I see businesses having an opportunity of like, okay, here I am. I actually get to be here. You don't have to come to me. So I can come to you and meet you halfway, and I can share to you. You might think my business is this, but I can explain to you that it actually involves all of these things. Radio as an example. You hear me talking on the air, and you may think that this is the job in radio, that this is about it. There are at least 15,000 people behind me doing a lot harder work and working their tails off to make me be able to do this. That's a lot of industry. So getting a chance to be at one of these booths and talk it out with businesses, really going to be an advantage for the employees and employers. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, it really just opens that line of communication and really just creates those partnerships and those connections that are going to build up our community.
Just between you and me, who came up with the Candyland idea? Because I really like that. That's a great theme.
I believe it was Stacy, our president and CEO. No, yes.
I thought it might have been her. Okay, I thought it might have been Stacy. I wasn't sure if it was Stacy or Lacey. I was a little bit neck and neck on that one. But okay, Stacy, fantastic. Danielle, we always like to wrap up with letting people know how they can find out more information or register for some of these events if they'd like to.
Yes. So if you are willing to contact us further, you can visit our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com. You can also call us at 715-423-1830. Also, be sure to check out our Facebook page. That's where we're going to be posting a lot of updates about our community events and just overall having a great time over there. So be sure to check us out.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. Again, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com is the website. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see it otherwise. And be listening for another edition of the Rapids Report featuring the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We'll be doing that very soon. Danielle, great work today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. Please say hi to the staff over there for us and everything, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Well, you've laid eyes on the crop you've got. You see the weather around you, and you see the markets. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Now you need to come up with a strategy, and we've got suggestions.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFenn Technologies were born and patented this century. With a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low-shear pumping, along with efficient, high-capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps, for all your applications, will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says use the tools that are available to you. He says there's a lot of mechanisms in the marketplace that may help protect your downside in this market and still allow you to find a little up.
You know, the biggest thing is I think guys are going to need some cash flow, and that's going to be a problem, obviously, just from talking to people. Money's getting tight, and that's understandable with the cost of production and getting ready for next year's inputs already, too. You know, so there's a couple different routes to do this. If you do go with the storage route, we've had a nice little rally. Make sure we put a little bit of a floor underneath that so you got those prices locked in longer term using put strategies. Otherwise, if you are making sales, I'm a strong recommendation this year, just keeping some paper over top on calls. Keep it simple, keep it cheap, something that's easy to explain to keep yourself at least available to the upside in the market.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Right now in overnight electronic trade, I've got December corn down a penny at 419, March corn down a penny at 436. Currently, November soybeans are down 3 at 1028, December wheat's up a penny at 522, July new crop wheat up a penny at 559. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2 cents down to 168. 40-pound block cheese, 3 cents lower at 166.5. The butter was down 2 as well, $2.5 per pound on the butter. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, up a penny right now, $16.93 a hundredweight. November, currently up 4. There's your quick market update as we roll our way into a Wednesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com anytime you want to check in on the news influencing your markets. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. On your Thursday, increasing sunshine with highs again in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back on this Wednesday morning. Time for our homeroom segment. And before we get to our guest, a little history of the homeroom segment, especially appropriate for today's topic. How did we come to do a weekly segment on public education in Wisconsin? It started with my learning just how much money our tax dollars goes into the voucher school program. And now this goes back at least a couple of years. And I originally wanted to do just a short series, maybe a short series of videos, kind of like Schoolhouse Rock. But instead of how a bill becomes a law, it was, could we find a way to explain in plain English how the school funding system works in Wisconsin? And in doing so, we would help people appreciate how we fund our public schools, but also let people know how much money is skimmed away from that from a voucher program for private, often religious schools that started as this small experimental program in Milwaukee, but with a lot of folks not knowing it, has mushroomed into something massive. And how do you go about sharing that message with folks? Well, the short video series is still a work in progress, but we did say, you know, we need to be talking about this on a more regular basis. So along with a lot of other education topics, we started this homeroom segment along with some friends from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, who have made it their mission as well in the support of public schools, is to help increase taxpayer transparency about the voucher school program. Well, they're taking this to the next level with a transparency project that the Wisconsin Public Education Network is starting, with a kickoff party and free training through Zoom and a toolkit and more. It's all starting next week. And so to get back to basics on all this, Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network is here today. Heather, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. You and Chris Hambuck, well, you're basically the godmothers of this segment to help make sure that we're getting, you know, this kind of word out about supporting public schools and not undermining public schools through use of our property tax dollars, oftentimes unwittingly. And so tell us in your own words, what led to this transparency project? And then we'll get into what the transparency project is all about.
So thanks. There's a lot to unpack here. And yes, I'm just going to start by saying that question about, well, how do I understand this in regular plain language is probably the one we get the most.
Yes.
Most people know that Wisconsin taxpayers are subsidizing a secondary system of education that is not playing by the same set of rules. We are funding private, mostly religious schools through taxpayer funded vouchers. And we are funding independent charter schools, which are charter schools that are not run by your district or your locally elected board. They're public schools in name, but they're independently run, and they aren't subject to the same level of scrutiny, particularly that, financial scrutiny that public schools are. And so the question we get next is, well, why and how much do I find out these costs? And Pat, you're a smart guy. You used to be a state legislator. You are a reporter. You know how to dig into details. How easy do you find it to find out how much vouchers are costing in your district?
Yeah, that kind of says it all right there. Is I have been working at this as a journalist and as a state senator and now as a radio host, and it's still hard for me to wrap my head around how we get these costs. And it, you know, for folks who think, well, I'll just look at that line on my property tax bill, that does not tell you the whole story.
Yeah, there's no line on your property tax bill. There's right. No line that you can just go to and put in, here's my district, how much are vouchers costing on the state, in the state budget or on the state DPI website. You have to dig into spreadsheets. You have to know what those spreadsheets are called. You have to search this information out yourself. And then, worst of all, you have to do your own math to add up all the different programs and see how much they're all costing. And so we have created a tool on our website, wisconsinnetwork.org, where you can go, and we're going to update this by next week when we do our party with the numbers for this year. So that's one way you can get the numbers right now. There is also a Fiscal Bureau memo that gives us the grand total of the price tag, which, by the way, for the next 2 years in this biennium is going to be $1,836,400. We're approaching $2 billion in the biennium on voucher and independent charter spending. And so the question is, how much is that costing in my district? How much is that money siphoning away from the pot that's not going to my kids? Because this is one of many reasons that districts have been forced to go to referenda so much over the past 15 years. And so there are a lot of challenges facing public schools right now, and hiding those challenges is a real problem. And so we want to see more transparency, not in the service of expanding that program, but rather in the service of exposing what a scam it is and how much it is truly costing local kids, and in the hopes that more people will turn their confusion into outrage and join us in demanding that we right this wrong and restore our commitment to funding the public schools our Constitution requires us to serve.
We're talking to Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And so now that we've set up the problem, let's talk about the new transparency project and the kickoff event next week. What's that all about?
Yeah. So what can people do about it? You can say, I want this on my tax bill. And people have said that around the state, in Racine, in Milwaukee, in Madison, in South Milwaukee. There are a number of communities around the state where they already have what's called a tax insert. It is a little slip of paper that comes with your tax bill that shows how much vouchers are costing taxpayers and how much is being deducted from the aid for your district to cover these unaccountable voucher schemes. What we'd like to see is a requirement that that's on your actual tax bill. It's expensive to do inserts. It's unnecessary. It's confusing. That should be a line item, the same as any other school cost, just like our public school funding, which is funded by public dollars, is exposed to taxpayers. And so the good people of Green Bay took it into their own hands to approach their city and ask for that level of transparency. And after a few months of discussion and debate and consideration, they passed it, and this fall, when those tax bills come out, they are going to show taxpayers exactly how much that program is costing and add a layer of transparency that we've never been afforded before. And I'll say this, we've tried at the state level. There have been several bills circulated asking for a state law that requires those costs to be exposed. Those bills have never seen a hearing. We hope that bill will continue to come forward and that we could solve this problem in one fell swoop at the state house. But there seems to be a real will for lack of transparency on behalf of the voucher lobby. And so I think that should speak volumes in and of itself. So we're going to give you all the tools you need to get this process started where you live. It is not as hard as it might sound. It's just a question of talking to the right people, following the right steps, and setting the wheels in motion to find folks in your community who are invested in making sure that the kids in our public schools have the resources that they need to succeed, to thrive, and to ensure that our schools are like well-equipped places of joy where we're really making sure that we're meeting the needs of every kid who walks through the door.
I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said it isn't that it's hard. It's just a matter of knowing the steps, knowing getting the resources to tap into basically a toolkit. And that's the thing that you all have put together now, because lacking a state solution because of the current legislature, this has to happen at the district by district level. So if any one person hears this in a school district, it might sound rather daunting, but you get 2, 3, 4 people at a coffee clutch or a local meeting of some other group. It sounds like the kind of thing that this toolkit and this training would help them get some answers at the local district level.
Yeah. And who doesn't want that level of transparency and accountability? I mean, it is really basic, and we're seeing strong bipartisan support for these efforts wherever they've been introduced, because regardless of what your feelings are about the program, we over here at Wisconsin Public Education Network are strongly opposed to programs that siphon monies away from the public schools we are required to serve. But whatever your feelings about that program, most people want transparency. They want accountability. They want to make sure that their tax dollars are being used in a way that ensures we're good stewards of our money. And there's really nothing less conservative about a taxpayer-funded voucher that's providing resources for private school students to attend the school they already attend, which has been the case for the vast majority of students. Close to 80% of kids who are in the statewide voucher program never attended a public school. So as our tax dollars increase to that program, it becomes increasingly unsustainable. And that's one of the things we want to expose to. Most people don't know that there was a statute put into place about 10 years ago, well, exactly 10 years ago next year, that every year a few more kids can enter the program from each district based on a certain percentage until the year 2026, when the cap on enrollment will come off altogether. Well, Wisconsin is not prepared for that free-for-all, and we need to make sure that we are ready to expose the costs, to understand what they mean to local kids in our public schools that serve the vast majority of Wisconsin kids, and really hold the line on demanding fair funding, because Lord knows we did not get fair funding in the last state budget, and if we're going to do better, it's going to start with us being better watchdogs where we live.
Heather, the whole notion of transparency, I just find rich, no pun intended, from a lot of folks who love to talk about taxpayer transparency until it's something that's important to them. And so now you have the potential for people to learn more about this. And on our Facebook page, Chris Hambuck Boyle has been putting in the exact web addresses that people can click on. But really, if you go to Wisconsin Network.
Chris.
Yes, thank you. If you go to wisconsinnetwork.org/events, and even if you just go to wisconsinnetwork.org, you'll go to events, and then from there, it'll be very clear to see the Go Public Transparency Project. It's on September 16th, so that'll be Tuesday of next week, 6:30 via Zoom, but you do need people to pre-register, I would assume.
Yep, we need you to register in advance. And once you do, we will send you the link to participate in the event. You're going to get a toolkit. You're going to get access to people like Chris, who can do a one-on-one consultation with you, help you understand what specifically in your community you're going to need to do, because this is a bit of a choose your own adventure. No two municipalities do their tax bills exactly the same way. So you're going to have to do a little bit of investigating to get started. But again, it's not as hard as it sounds. And we're here to make it fun, but also to help you tap into some energy around making sure that local kids have what they need that you might not have known was going on around the state. But let me tell you, it is. And people are ready to stand up for and defend their public schools. And we hope you're one of them.
Heather Dubois-Bourne on from Wisconsin Public Education Network, wisconsinnetwork.org. Heather, thank you so much for all you do. It's great to talk to you again. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. It's always great to see you, Pat.
You bet. Thanks. Take care.
Hope to see everybody next week.
You bet. So it's always good to connect with Heather. And one point I want to underscore again very quickly is there's always been an enrollment cap on the program, and that cap's about to be lifted, and that can blow such a hole in the next state budget if this whole monster isn't addressed. In our next hour, we're going to talk to David Crowley, Milwaukee County executive and candidate for governor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello world, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 9th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by David Farnborough, because it's time for Realty Radio. It's time to talk Realty Radio. I'm excited about the segment, David. I always enjoy talking with you. And I will let the audience know, David sent over some notes for today's show, and I got really excited about the topic we're getting into today, David, and talking a little bit more about an anniversary around here.
It's wonderful to be with you again, James. Today we're actually going to be talking about the first anniversary of Rapids Homes. So yeah, I've been in real estate 30 years, and I've been a realtor in Wisconsin since 2018, but I set up this brokerage, Rapids Homes, exactly a year ago this September. So it's a cause for celebration.
Absolutely. First, you know, right out the gate, I'll say, you know, we our mantra around here in this community is buying local, supporting local. You are a local establishment. We love supporting that and being a part of it. And you do the same working with us. It's a mutual, beneficial, wonderful relationship.
Thank you. I think so.
On many levels, including the fact that we all get along and we've all known each other for a while and everything.
And, we participate in community theater.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool to think of that, of knowing each other for all these years. And here we are now working together. And everything. Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's also something that we're not alone. This happens all the time for us in this community. That's one of the things why we love to buy local, support local. But I don't know that we always get a chance to really dive into the business itself and where it came from and the people that created it. So here's a fun kind of opportunity for us to do that. So let's right out the gate. I got to know, what's the career path that led you to start Rapids Homes, David? Because when I first heard of you in town and I first knew of you, I will say right away, everybody commented that voice and that wonderful voice of yours, that wonderful accent. And immediately after that, what a great person you are and that you are a fantastic photographer. So I thought right away of you as an artist and as a photographer and some of those things. I wouldn't have thought of real estate right away. Wasn't until talking to you that I can see a real parallel between real estate and photography.
Right. And you know that that song, God Bless the Broken Road That Leads Led Me to You? I think of that in my career path because I actually started off in real estate back in the UK many years ago when interest rates were still at 15% per annum. And I started off as a real estate attorney. Now, it is all pretty different how it's done over there to how it's done here. So in Wisconsin, you may never see an attorney from one end of your real estate transaction to another. They do some work behind the scenes, but you generally don't see one. In the UK, they are usually your first port of call. And, you know, after you've got your offer accepted or after you've got your house sold. So what you find is that the real estate lawyer is actually in contact with the buyer or seller throughout the whole transaction. So, you know, I would be the person who they came to crying or angry or elated when they finally got their purchase done. So I had 23 years of doing that. I became very specialist in dealing with certain areas grew a great rapport with my local real estate agents in the community I worked in. And that was pretty helpful because generally they were the people who advised buyers and sellers on which attorney to go to. So I got to know them. And I remember working in law, a lot of people would say, the real estate agents are terrible. We hate them. And I thought, actually, no, we've got to work with these real estate agents, and you get to know them and you find there's more to them than just their job. You know, they've got community involvement. They've got interesting hobbies like archaeology and electronics, all the sort of things that you can establish, a real connection with. And so I did know a lot about, you know, what a real estate agent did before I came here. Now, when I was working in law and in real estate law, I found that I was drawn towards the artistic side of study. So during that period I was working in the UK, I did two degrees. I did one which was a English literature degree, and I did another one in film and visual media. And those are really my passions. So when I came over here in 2008, 2009, I wanted to work really with words and pictures. And actually, that was the first business I set up here in Rapids. It was called Words and Pictures. And I would contribute columns to local papers and photography. And I also did my own photographic work. I was also doing some radio work. So people mentioned The Voice. I did do some on-air work. And I also did some photography for a radio station that did a lot of country and western. So I got to meet some wonderful stars. And then I worked for a while as a portrait photographer, and I also worked as a writer and director of commercial videos. Now, around about, early 2018, one of my colleagues in real estate, Dean Ramsden, approached me and said, David, what, have you ever thought of becoming a realtor? And I thought, you know, maybe there is something for me in being a realtor because I know real estate pretty well. I know how to deal with people. I know how to deal with people during their most stressful times. And I believe I'm very customer-centered. I try and get the best results from my clients, sometimes at the expense of my own bank balance. And also, I thought that this writing and visual component that I developed over the years could help me in my real estate work. So became a realtor. Well, I actually got my license as a real estate agent in 2018. I joined the National Association of Realtors in early 2019. Then in May 2019, I became the manager of the RE/MAX Rome office. 2022, I got my brokerage license. I got my broker's license. That's okay. A personal license for me to be a broker.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. envoy says Washington stands by NATO allies after they helped shoot down Russian drones that entered Polish airspace during an overnight attack on Ukraine. Prime Minister Donald Tusk.
This is the first time that Russian drones have been shot down over the territory of a NATO member country, which is why all allies are taking this situation very seriously. We have not recorded any casualties.
Russia's defense ministry just claiming it did not target Poland. President Trump's weighed in on yesterday's Israeli strike on Hamas political offices in Qatar. CBS's Jared Hill.
On social media, he said it was too late to stop the attack after the U.S. military notified him and that he directed his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, to inform leaders in Qatar immediately.
In Washington, D.C.
Free D.C.! Free Palestine!
Protesters outside Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab restaurant, where President Trump took cabinet members to highlight his crackdown on crime.